Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Tennessee Titans host the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. And joining us now to break it all down is Bob Kravitz. He's been covering the NFL and the Indianapolis Colts for a long time. You can find his work on bobkravitz.com. Bob, appreciate you for joining us. I know we chatted with you earlier this season when the Titans made their road trip to Indianapolis. So appreciate you for joining us again. A lot of our talk, you know, when the team is 4-7, a lot of our talk has been dominated by the future of the team, the future of the leadership. Job security for Mike Vrabel. So I'm interested to hear your perspective of somebody that's outside of Nashville, but still has close enough ties, covers a divisional opponent. I'm interested to hear your evaluation of Mike Vrabel and the job that he has done this season.
I'll be honest with you. It's amazing to me that there's even chatter about Vrabel's security. I mean, to me, he's been a great coach for a long time, and it's a little shocking to me now. Obviously, I'm not close to it. I follow the Colts primarily, but it seems to me you've got a good one there and, you know, a bad season. It's strange to me that people would be talking about his security.
And I think that it's inevitable, and that seems to be, you know, the conversation outside of Nashville is, he's a great coach. The conversation inside of Nashville is, we're sick of him. We're tired of him. You know, the Indianapolis Colts moved on from a coach not too long ago in Frank Reich. From the Indianapolis perspective, what was the tipping point for Frank Reich and what he was doing in Indianapolis?
Well, the tipping point was they got off to a slow start. The offense was atrocious. And when Jim Irsay mandated that Sam Ehlinger play over Matt Ryan, that was the end, because at that point it undermined Frank completely, cut him off at the knees, and at that point you knew that Frank was on thin, very thin ice.
This team played earlier in the season, and obviously we know what happened. That was the running back's first game back, but Zach Moss, he was the primary back, and he was able to do some things on the Titans that not many running backs were able to do. But after that game, since that game, how much better has this Indianapolis team gotten since their win, you know, weeks ago versus the Titans?
You know, it's funny. I don't think they're tremendously better. I think they're basically the same teams. They're finding ways to win, and I'll be damned if I can figure out how. I mean, their defense is pretty good, at least the last couple of games. Their pass rush has been dynamic. But offensively, you're still trying to make a go of it with a quarterback who's probably, what, 25th? You know, you're probably the 25th best starting quarterback in the league in Gardner Minshew. You know, if we're going to be honest about it, they've played a really soft schedule. They were 3-5, and then they played the Carolina, and they played New England out in Germany. And those are really, really bad teams. So they've gotten pretty fat and happy on some bad competition. You know, they're an interesting team, but you look at them, you look at the stats, and you're like, how in the hell is this team 6-5 and in the playoff chase? It's kind of hard to figure, but they find ways to beat bad teams.
Now, they have a stud linebacker. They have a stud in Zaire Franklin. I mean, he's a tackling machine, and he proved it the first time the Titans played them. But they just cut one of their longtime linebackers in Shaq Leonard. Was it because of the injuries that they chose to just release him?
Yeah, I mean, it's about production. Yeah, I mean, you know this as well as anybody. Excuse my voice. Kind of going south on me. Mm-hmm. But if you watched him closely, he was not a $20 million linebacker. And they just decided that, you know, I mean, they weren't playing him. He wasn't playing on third down. The week that Zaire Franklin didn't play because of an injury, Shaq thought he would get all his snaps. He did not. So I think it was good for both sides because Shaq was really unhappy with the situation. And, again, it just comes down to accountability and production, and he just wasn't a $20 million linebacker.
Bob Kravitz is with us. Bob, based on the whole evolution, this is a really interesting saga here. As well as Zach Moss has played, the whole Taylor drama, now he's injured. How do you think they feel about the investment they ended up making in Taylor, now knowing what they're, obviously hindsight being 2020?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm still at a loss to explain how he, let's say, quote-unquote, won in that scenario. You know, all the big talk from Irsay about how he would never pay him, and then he paid him. I don't think they're having buyer's remorse. I think they're happy as hell they made the trade, Nyheim Hines for a fifth rounder. Zach Moss is a throw-in, and Zach Moss has been, I think he's still a top 10 rusher in the league, despite the fact he hadn't played very much in the last few weeks. So, no, I don't think there's buyer's remorse. You know, JT looked as good last week as he's looked since he came back. And I think, you know, come December, assuming the thumb is healed, he's got a really good second wind in him.
As you look at the AFC South, as we know, there's young quarterbacks that are really going to write the script in the coming year. So that's where we are here in Nashville is, you know, what do they have in Will Levis? That's what they're trying to find out. As you look at the roster for the Colts, aside from Anthony Richardson, how do you think the whole roster building thing is going for them?
Okay. You know, I mean, they still need a lot of help outside at wide receiver. Michael Pittman and Josh Downs are you know, they're wide out, and their slot guy are both very good. They need – Alec Pierce has not produced the way they would have hoped, at least in my view. They need some help in the secondary. But, you know, they're in really good shape along the offensive and defensive lines. And that's what Chris Ballard has always wanted to do, was build from the inside out. And I think they're in pretty good shape there.
How does their draft look as far as draft capital? That's another thing that we're looking at here is the Titans over the years have traded a draft pick here, draft pick there to stay in contention. Now that the Colts have their quarterback, how will they approach the draft this year?
Well, I think they're going to look for weapons on the outside, look for weapons for Anthony Richardson. The big issue with the Colts will be in free agency. They're not going to have much money. Between what they're paying Matt Ryan and what they're paying Shaq Leonard, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but they're not going to have a ton of money in free agency. So they really got to hit it in the draft, and Lord only knows where they're going to be drafting. But I think they're going to be looking for secondary help, and they're going to be looking for a wide receiver.
Now, moving forward, Bob, with this Indianapolis Colts team, how important is this game to them? Is there talk of playoffs? Because I know at the beginning of the season, I don't think many saw the Colts in this position. But, you know, this has turned out to be a, you know, a pretty good division where many thought it was going to be the worst division in football. But it turned out to be a pretty good – it's turning out to be a pretty good division. So what are the Colts' thoughts about this game and them potentially making the playoffs?
Well, I think if they want to make the playoffs, this is a game they got to win. It's a team that's a Tennessee team that you know better than me is struggling with the rookie quarterback, and they've got other issues. So I think they look at, you know, they got six games left. I'd say four of them are should win games. I think Tennessee is one of them. But look, they're not a dominant team. They're not going to blow anybody out. It wouldn't surprise me if this is another one of those one score games that comes down to a late turnover. But yeah, this is a game that they need. But it's amazing. I mean, they don't face a real quality veteran quarterback or just a quality quarterback until they face C.J. Stroud. I mean, they've got a lot of Kenny Picketts and Will Levis's that they're facing here. So they need to take advantage. And I think the defense and the pass rush is really, really important in this scenario.
Bob Kravitz is with us. He's been covering the Indianapolis Colts for a long time, and you can find all of his coverage on bobkravitz.com. But we have a tendency this season to look at the rookie quarterbacks around the league, as we are people who cover a team that did draft a rookie quarterback in Will Levis. As someone who also covers a team that drafted a rookie quarterback in Anthony Richardson, I think it's a bummer that we haven't been able to see the progression and the evolution of Anthony Richardson this season. Of course, he's been sidelined with a shoulder injury. But how would you look at this rookie quarterback class, and how would you rank these rookie quarterbacks?
Well, certainly C.J. Stroud is the class of
He looks so good.
The whole thing. That goes without saying, but I said it anyway. Look, I think Anthony Richardson, in the short period of time, 173 snaps, looked tremendous. I think they go into next season feeling like they've got their quarterback of the future. Now, he's still going to be largely a rookie, next year, because, like I say, 173 snaps, just five games or so. So there's still going to be a learning curve. But, in the long term, this might be a good thing for Anthony Richardson to be able to sit on the side and learn from Gardner Minshew and understand the offense better. I think Levis is clearly third, but I like Levis a lot coming out. And I still think, and I know there were some people with the Colts who really liked him too. I think that he's going to be just fine. Peyton Manning was 3-13 his rookie year and set the record for rookie interceptions. So don't get too hot and bothered by what he's doing his rookie year. He'll figure it out.
And to your point about Anthony Richardson, it's kind of that age-old philosophy or question of sitting the rookie quarterback, playing the rookie quarterback. I think history has shown there's no right answer to that. But I wanted to get there is no right answer. I wanted to get your perspective, maybe what you're hearing from defensive coaches in Indianapolis, of how much they might still view Derrick Henry as a threat, how much they have to respect the run with Derrick Henry.
Oh, I mean, that's job one. And here's the deal. The Colts have been terrible against the run the last 4 weeks. So if any team is well-suited, with their strength to beat the Colts, it would be Tennessee with Derrick Henry. Grover Stewart was suspended for 4 games for a PED violation. He's their nose tackle, and he's a dominant run stopper. And since he's out, they've been giving up an average of about 140 yards a game on the ground. So, look, if Derrick Henry can go off, Tennessee can win this game. If they can stop the run and force him to be a little bit one-dimensional with Will Levis, then I think the Colts have a really good chance.
Last one from me, Bob. How do you see this one playing out? What's your official prediction for this game?
I'm going to take and I rarely do this because I'm such a negative person. I think the Colts will win at 17-14, 20-17, something like that. I think a late turnover is either going to change the game or seal the game for Indianapolis. I don't bet the under. I don't know what the over-under is, but bet the under.
42.5, I'm looking at it. And the Colts are a one-point favorite. It's interesting.
Under.
You go under. Yeah,
under,
definitely.
Under. Yeah, I mean, the Colts, they got 27 points last week against Tampa and looked pretty good offensively. But I got a feeling that Henry is going to control the ball for Tennessee, and they're going to get their yards, and it's going to be a low possession game.
Bob Kravitz, he's been covering the Indianapolis Colts for a long time. You can find all of his work at bobkravitz.com. Bob, really appreciate you for joining us. Enjoy the games this weekend.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, Bob. Bob Kravitz, he is the best. He does great work, and you can find his work at bobkravitz.com. We'll get to your questions for D-Mace here in just about 15 minutes, so get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Take your calls, your texts, any of your questions for Derek Mason. But I think it's interesting. I asked Bob the question about his evaluation of Mike Vrabel, and that always seems to be the response from anyone outside of Nashville, anyone outside of the Titans fan base is, I don't know how in the world his job could be in question. I think you've got a great guy. I think you've got a great coach. And maybe that's the right evaluation. Maybe we're all just looking at it way too negative. But I wonder, how bad does it have to get in order for that outside of Nashville, the national perspective, to change on Mike Vrabel?
Well, I said until the national narrative changes for Mike Vrabel, he's going to remain the coach here in Nashville, regardless of, you know, unless it gets to a point where it's like, oh, okay, a no-brainer. We got to part ways. Say if they drop every game from here on out, then Amy has to start thinking, not to say that she will fire him, but she has to start thinking like, okay, is it time to make a change, or should I give this another year or so and allow them to build this roster back up? But until the national narrative changes, I think he remains the coach of the Tennessee Titans.
He's respected. Yeah. That's just how it is. And the Titans have, up until the last meeting, had very good recent success against the Colts. So I would think somebody from Indianapolis, too, would certainly have that perception of Vrabel. And the shoe was on the other foot before Vrabel got there. They couldn't beat the Colts to save their lives. I think Andrew Luck was undefeated against
he was.
The Colts. I don't think they ever beat him. Literally, never beat him. And even some backup quarterbacks had success. But that was another time. But I found that interesting. He was sort of characterizing the Colts as a team that's taken advantage of a soft schedule and are kind of wondering how are we like just how we see them is how they perceive them in Indianapolis. Yeah. Like, how are they in this thing? They're 6-5. How are they doing this?
And they're like, I don't know how any Indianapolis fan can think differently. I don't know how we got here, but I'm just happy to be here.
And they look at the teams on the schedule like, we could beat these teams. We could maybe get a few more wins here. But this to me is a great test to see exactly where the Titans are. Like beating Carolina, that was really nothing.
No.
But so this is the little next step is, okay, how do you do against a very mediocre team? Not a bad team, but a mediocre team. The type of team that you've been good enough to beat in your stadium, but not come close to. Like, take the Bucs. Indianapolis just beat the Bucs last week. Titans were overmatched by the Bucs. Couldn't block the Bucs. Got blown out. Scored 3 against the Bucs.
It was rough.
That was rough.
It was bad.
So this is a comparable team, but it's here. So how does it look? It's a really interesting game. That's why you can't predict anything in this league.
Yeah, I guess it all boils down to what Bob said. It's they did a good job at corralling Derrick Henry last game. They made it an emphasis, and the Titans they didn't make enough plays in the passing game to be able to win that game. But I think all of it does, it's all on whether this defensive line of the Indianapolis Colts can stop the Tennessee Titans run game. And, you know, I sort of chuckled inside when you asked the question about stopping Derrick Henry, and I said, yeah, of course. But I'm looking at it from another standpoint, like, man, yeah, you worry about stopping Derrick Henry, but you don't worry about that offensive line. Like, other teams, I'm saying other teams don't worry about this offensive line doing a great job at blocking. You see what I'm saying?
We still worry about
Derrick Henry, but this offensive line isn't good anymore. So a lot of what Derrick Henry can't do is because of the offensive line. So it takes away some of the ability of Derrick Henry to be able to go off like he has in previous games against the Indianapolis Colts.
And the reason why I asked that question is because I was interested to hear the outside perspective, and I expected his response to be, of course, he's Derrick freaking Henry. And that's something that I think a lot of Titans fans don't realize is people are still scared of Derrick Henry. There are 31 defensive coordinators in the National Football League that are going to game plan for Derrick Henry. Yet I think a lot of Titans fans think that, oh, look at this old P-pop, Derrick Henry, that can't run the football. Nobody's scared of Derrick Henry. Got to move on from Derrick Henry, when that absolutely is not the case.
But that still could be perception more than reality. I don't think the fans are wrong to say that he has taken a slight step back this season.
And it's
season.
Okay to say he's taken a slight step back versus there's a slight step back. And Derrick Henry's not the Derrick Henry that he was in 2019-2020. I think it's fair to say that. I think it's okay to acknowledge that he's not the same back. But just because he's not a 2,000-yard back that he was in 2020 doesn't mean that he's not a threat.
But he's also, like, based on the threats that they have.
Yeah.
He's still the top threat, but that doesn't mean he's a dominant player anymore.
He's the only guy that can change how the game, the outcome of the game. He's that one guy. I don't think teams fear him. I think teams respect him still, but they don't fear him because that offensive line is not good anymore. You know, it's you have a running back that still is capable of having big games, but those big games are far and few between now because the offensive line. So we're still going to respect Derrick Henry as a runner. You know, we still got to game tackle him whenever you have opportunity to, but I don't think teams fear him the way they did 2 years ago. One, possibly because, you know, yeah, he's lost a half a step, and that's neither here nor there. But I think the biggest thing is the offensive line is not good.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so teams look at it from the standpoint, we can get more penetration now. We can get to him quicker than, say, we could 2 or 3 years ago because that offensive line was damn good.
And he's not the home run hitter.
Exactly.
He's not as much of a home run hitter as he was. At least he hasn't been this year. Now, what's traditionally the month where Derrick Henry separates himself? It's December. Yeah. So here we are. So I think
Derrick Sember, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, I think, important for his career going forward, whether it's here or somewhere else. Mm-hmm. If he can have a big December, that will help his market value here. That's going to be a huge decision.
And that is a conversation that I want to get into, is the Titans' future with Derrick Henry. We'll get into Ask D-Mace coming up next. Get your questions in for D-Mace, 615-737-1025. Before we get to Ask D-Mace, one YouTube comment that I have to read. John Robinson was a Tennessee guy through and through, and I think that matters more than you may think. In comparison, Ran is a Florida Gator at his core, and he hates Tennessee.
Wonder who that guy roots for.
Exactly.
My goodness.
I mean, John Robinson is from a small town, Union City, Tennessee.
John Robinson went to school in Missouri.
I hope that was his
But he is from Union City, Tennessee.
He's from Tennessee, and
we're
he's
here.
A local guy.
I watch Union City. I broadcast a Union City team that tried to win one of these high school championship games way back when I was doing that every year. So I get it. Like, he does have roots in Tennessee, but come on.
You got a job to do.
Right.
Rand Carthon is intentionally running this program into the ground because he has a Florida Gator and hates this state.
Okay, so by that token, a Patriots fan sitting up there with, well, you can't get Mike Vrabel. He's an Ohio State guy. He's from Ohio. He's not from New England. I mean, come on, man.
Oh, we'll get into Ask D-Mace coming up next. Get your calls, get your texts in for D-Mace. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derrick Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mays. Get those questions in for D-Mays. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ask D-Mays is presented by Calabria Pizza. Come try their pizza in Goodlettsville and Mount Juliet because life is just too short to eat bad pizza. D-Mays, without further ado, let's get into Ask D-Mays.
Let's do it.
One texter texts, asks, is Marvin Harrison Jr. really a generational talent?
He looks like it. He's every bit of his dad and more. He's bigger. It's just, I think these kids nowadays, these uber talented receivers or running backs, whatever, they are just, they're different from the guys of yesteryear, even the great ones. These guys are learning things at so much younger than what we learned them. You know, it's hard to coach, for me at least, it's hard to stay up with the new trend with these receivers and you know, their workouts and how their releases and all this other stuff. It's like, man, I didn't do those things, you know?
Like the Derrick Henry dragging a tire while
all this crazy stuff
ball.
That they're doing.
Not
so,
a receiver, but.
Yeah, so it allows these young men or women, because of the training is so much better now. It's allowed these, if you're just talking about football, allow these young men to reach their potential a little bit quicker if indeed they are one of those types of players. I'm not going to say that Marvin Harrison Jr. is a generational player, but damn, he looks damn good. He will be a top three pick in the National Football League this year, because it's just like, you know, the ball's coming to him, but he still goes up and get it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a lot of flashy catches, but the guy seems to be always open, and he makes the plays when plays need to be made. So
I'm going to ask you a question that isn't fair, but it's inevitable, and I think it's something that's crossed a lot of people's minds.
Uh-huh.
How good is Marvin Harrison, and how much of the love that he's getting is because his name is Marvin Harrison?
Again, I watched his dad a little bit when he was at Syracuse,
mm-hmm.
But I think he's better. I think he's better than his dad at this point in time. Again, because technology has advanced and workouts and all this other stuff, and he grew up in a football family, and I'm sure he watched his dad, and his dad has critiqued him. But I think he's better than his dad. I truly do. And, you know, anyone's going to be happy to draft a guy like that. Again, I don't think he's leading the nation in receiving yards, but you can't point to a receiver that is better than him in college football right now. You just can't. He's the total package. And I think he's going to excel at the next level as well.
One texter texts in, so speaking of Marvin Harrison, if the Titans get a top pick, do you take Marvin Harrison or do you take an offensive lineman?
It would be hard to pass on Marvin Harrison. It would be. Because it's almost like passing on a quarterback. Because of the way this league is,
mm-hmm.
This league is pass generated. That's why you see, you know, receivers making the money that they're making, and the NFL is geared towards scoring points. So, you know, man, if I'm the Titans, I wouldn't want that. Honestly, I wouldn't, because you got to pick between. Do you solidify your offensive line, or do you get a guy that can potentially be a perennial all-star for you?
Mm-hmm.
And both guys can be that, your offensive lineman and receiver. But the way this league is going, and I do believe free agency is before the draft, so maybe they address the offensive line via free agency first,
mm-hmm.
and then be in a position to draft a Marvin Harrison Jr. because he – instantly makes your offense better. And you put him with Will Levis and Treylon Burks and DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, if Treylon can stay healthy, you have one of the best receiving corps in the National Football League. Instantly. So it's hard to pass up a guy like that.
I think about Corey Davis when he first came into the league before they had A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. He was sort of a disappointing because he wasn't going to be the number one guy, mm-hmm. but he slotted right into a nice number two role once yes. they got A.J. Brown. So maybe there's hope for Burks that mm-hmm. way.
Yeah.
But, of course, Burks has just got to get his health together to where he could string together some performances and start to build himself back up there. Here's one for you from Andy. He's asking about Derrick Henry's running style. He said he's not a high stepper. So do you see how teams try to tackle Derrick Henry low? Do you think that's always been the case? He's kind of asking, at this stage of his career, is he easier to tackle? It's an interesting question that he's got he's saying, and obviously the offensive line is bad. So he's trying to make that work.
Yeah, and you will know this, Willie, better than anyone. He has a Eric Dickerson style of running. He's straight up and high knees. And with guys like that, it's hard to tackle him. It's hard to tackle him because he's such a big guy, not just big from a muscular standpoint. He's 6'3". Mm-hmm. And, you can't tackle him high because it's just – you're going to get the stiff arm.
It's going to shake you
off. Yeah, you're going to get the stiff arm. And, early on, it was hard tackling him low. But now I think it's better for you to tackle him low than try to tackle him high. But he has sort of the Eric Dickerson style of running, where he's straight up and he's coming downhill, but he's running with force and speed.
Mike Texan says Malik Nabers at LSU is better than Marvin Harrison Jr. He said it, not me. One texter. He went to, but I don't disagree.
Do you know this person?
I do not.
Yes, do you know?
And I did check to see if it was a Baton Rouge area code, and it is in fact a 615 area code. Uh-huh. I agree, Mike. You have good taste. Andy Texan says, Derek, have you ever had a concussion in your playing days? How did it affect you? And do you think that we need to be hugely concerned for Treylon Burks?
I'm answered the latter first. Yes, you should be concerned about Treylon Burks in regards to the concussion. He's had two. In consecutive years that have put him out of games, on consecutive games. And we're not even counting the small ones that your head hits the turf and whatnot. So I would be concerned for the young man. We've seen guys because of injuries. I think Luke Kuechly, didn't he retire because of concussions, something like that?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so you see guys after several concussions where – it's just not worth it anymore. So we need to monitor that really closely, with him in regards to the concussions. But I've had two that, knocked me, I was done. One was my first year, Benny Thompson, I remember that. Boy, it was yesterday. We were playing in the old Memorial Stadium, Willie, up in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, man, oh, man, he claimed and just cleaned my clock. Boy, oh, boy. I went falling, the ball went left, and I didn't remember anything. But it was different back then because, crazy enough, it was like, all right, count your fingers, what's the month, say them backwards, when's your birthday, where are we, okay, sit down for a while, didn't take my helmet, and then – by the second quarter, I was back in. Well, after halftime, I was back in.
Wow.
The game.
How times have changed.
How times have changed, and I'm glad times have changed because there's no way in hell. And I'm not blaming, the doctors. Mm-hmm. It was just the NFL back then. I wouldn't want that. So I've had my share of concussions. Have I been affected by them? No. At this point in my career, no. I know I've seen guys that are or – have been affected by concussions. I'm not there, thank God. But I have had my share, the two that knocked me out. But I'm sure I had a few more that you start to see stars, but you get up and you run off, shaking your head. You can't do that now. If you take a big hit now and you stay on the ground for any amount of time, like if you just hesitate to get back up, somebody's buzzing from upstairs like, hey, you need to check them. Which is the right thing to do.
The right thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's a good change in the game. Mm-hmm. I was concerned about Burks before this concussion. And this concussion just adds salt into the wound. I was concerned about his ability to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. I was concerned about his ability to hold on to the football. I mean, we were talking about it yesterday, Willie, before you joined us when you were at Morning Skate. He's had one big play this year in that big 70-yarder against the Chargers. other than that, it's been crickets.
It's a lost year.
For Treylon Burks. Another lost year in his first two seasons in the National Football League.
He's had two significant concussions and a list of other
injuries
that have gone on top of that. That's tough to overcome. I'm rooting for him, but man, he's going to have to dig his way back one day at a time, one week at a time. I don't know. Will he play again this year? That's, I think it's a fair question. We don't know.
I'm hoping he will.
He was back on the practice field.
So he's cleared the protocol now?
So he was cleared the protocol to at least practice.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I guess they have up until today to clear him, or maybe even Saturday. But if this Titans offense is going to take off, and I'm not just talking this year, then they need to see something from him. Because what happens is, if you're still in this sort of limbo thing, you might pass up on a guy that can help you in the receiving room. So he needs to come on. I think the Titans passing game, it doesn't take another step until either Treylon Burks shows that he can be consistently on the field and making plays, or they go out and get somebody else, a young version of a Burks that doesn't have all the injury histories and stuff.
Find your burner.
Yeah.
Find your quick, speedy guy. Mm-hmm. We'll get back into your questions for D. Mace coming up next. 615-737-1025. Ask D. Mace and your questions, your calls, your texts. And you can tune in to 94.9 The Fan tomorrow for Vanderbilt men's basketball. The Commodores take on Alabama A&M tomorrow at Memorial Gym. Tip-off is at 4 p.m. with a pregame beginning at 3:30 p.m. Ask D. Mace. Get those questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ask D. Mace is presented by Calabria Pizza. Come try their pizza in Goodlettsville and Mount Juliet, because life is just too short to eat bad pizza. Let's get back into your questions for D. Mace. Eric is on the line. And Eric, I'm going to guess that you have a dad joke for us.
Yes, I do. I mean, I've told a number of them. I'm hoping it's not a repeat dad joke, but... because I can't remember if I told this one or not, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Give it to us.
Okay, Derek, what type of vegetable do you not carry in a boat?
That you not carry in a boat? Vegetable.
Yes.
I don't know. Carrots? I don't know.
Do you give up?
Yeah.
Leeks?
That was a good one.
Okay. My question for you, D-Mace, is this. The Titans, of course, are playing the Colts the second time, and Jonathan Taylor is out again like it was last time. And, of course, they had the backup running back who ran crazy against them. What's his name? Zach Morris? Is that his
Zach
name?
Zach Moss.
Moss. I couldn't think of his name. What do you think the Titans are going to do differently on game field to try and stop that, whether it's, I don't know if it's like filling gaps or whatever, but what do you think they need to do differently so he doesn't run crazy like he did in Indianapolis? Guys, good talk to you. Y'all take care, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. First, I mean, they need to get penetration on the offensive line. Now, it's going to be hard to do. That Colt offensive line is pretty good. But they're going to have to get penetration. Guys are going to have to play their gaps. And then you got to respect the runner. You have to. I know after the first game, Simmons said, well, they made him look like the second coming of Le'Veon Bell. Put some speck on that man's name, okay? Mm-hmm. Put some respect on his name. The kid can run the football, okay? He's not the second coming of a Le'Veon Bell. He's Zach Moss. And he's a damn good runner. That's in front of a really good, runs behind a really good offensive line. So, to me, they must get penetration up front. They must stop, the runner before he gets going. Because we say that a lot about Derrick Henry. In order to stop Derrick Henry a lot, especially when he was on a roll, you had to get to him before he got going. That's how you sort of, sort of eliminated the big plays from Derrick Henry. And I think it's the same way with Zach Moss. He's not Derrick Henry, but with any good back, you got to stop them before they get going. He's a shifty back. He's physical. He's strong. He does have some speed. But if the Titans want to stop him, they got to gain game tackle for one. But then they got to get that penetration up front. And those linebackers got to scrape and start making tackles.
Wes is on the line with a question for D-Mays. What's up, Wes? Thanks for calling in.
Oh, good afternoon, guys. Guess I got a little dad joke for you here. Willie, I know you're a Star Wars person. Are you a Star Wars person, D-Mays?
Yeah, I like Star Wars.
All right. Well, why didn't Han Solo enjoy his steak dinner?
Why didn't Han Solo enjoy his steak dinner? Wow. Does it have something to do with Darth Vader?
It does not.
Okay, tell me.
It was Chewy.
Chewbacca.
I like that one.
By the way, Star Wars night at Bridgestone Arena coming up December 7th. So just throw that in there.
Can you do it, Chewbacca?
Yeah. I cannot.
I'm ready for it.
I can't. No.
Oh, no.
What the hell was that, Mason?
Oh, hey.
I cried.
I take that back.
Oh, my God. I was not expecting that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, me either. It came out all wrong.
No.
We'll see y'all Monday.
That's a walk-off.
And with that. Yeah, go ahead with your question, Wes.
Yeah, when after college football it just didn't work out and you just weren't going to play football, what would it have been?
Oh man, what would it have been? You know, that's a question. And thank you for your question, Wes. I appreciate it. That's a question I think a lot of, you know, individuals get, whether you are an athlete, entertainer, surgeon, you know, teacher. Is like, okay, if you didn't do your said occupation, then what else would you have done? And honestly, you know, I thought about being an educator, but, you know, it is what it is. But I never really thought about that. You know, I didn't. I was blessed with an ability to play a game that I enjoyed and loved as a kid. And it wasn't that, you know, you put all your eggs in one basket, but it was, okay, I'm going to school, I'm doing this, but my job, my first job was football. My second job was going to school. That's just the way it was back then. And honestly, that's the way it is now. When you get your scholarship, you got to maintain a scholarship, I know. But if you're not performing on the field, you ain't going to be on that team for very long. They're going to try to wait. They're going to try to get you out somehow, some way. It was like your first job is football. And then you go to school. Or I'm just a, you know, a guy, and I've always said this. They call us student athletes. You're an athletic student. That across the board, I don't care who you are, men, women, you are an athlete because they brought you here on a scholarship. And they expect you, in order to keep that scholarship, there are things you have to do. And school is one of them.
Yeah.
But a lot of these universities, first and foremost, you better perform on the basketball court, football field, baseball diamond, whatever. You better perform because that scholarship is year to year. It's not, you know, you sign as a four-year deal. No. It's not a four-year deal. It's a one-year deal. And if we don't like you after that first year, not many colleges do it, but if we don't like you after that first year, we can say, you know what, we're going to take the scholarship away. Not many universities do that, but they can if they want it to, because they are year-to-year contracts. So had I not been I don't know. And I'm just honestly speaking because that was my job for 2 years of high school, 4 years of college, and then obviously 15 years in the NFL. That's what I did. I spent the most time like doing that, honing in on my skills. Yeah, I did my schoolwork and all that other stuff, but I concentrated on that. So, you know, I'm sure I would have been able to do something else. I'm sure of that. But God has given me, He gave me the ability to play a sport that I enjoyed. Just like, you know, he's given a lot of other people, you know, my son, for instance, he's given my son the brilliance that he has, you know, and the ability to sort of be in that medical world. He blessed him with that. So I wouldn't ask my son, like, if you were not a doctor, what would you be? Because I think that to me, and I thank Wes for the question, but sometimes I just think it's unfair because it's like, this is what I've been doing. I hadn't thought about anything else.
I've always thought that we lose sight of this sometimes on shows like this, but uh-huh. because this is the way it works. But I still feel philosophically that mm-hmm. I always hope that somebody who dedicates themselves to mm-hmm. athletics as much as you did, as much mm-hmm. as I did, as long as I could, mm-hmm. I just hope that the lessons you learn, the experience you have, help you
exactly.
become a good professional in whatever you do after you do. You're exactly. done playing, right? Yeah. But then that's why we do it to, exactly. to some degree. We want to win. We want to compete. Mm-hmm. Get a scholarship's nice. Playing professionally mm-hmm. is nice. But hopefully in the big picture, it helps you become mm-hmm. effective as a person. It doesn't always happen mm-hmm. that way, but I hope that if you can keep your eye on that, that yeah. is one of the reasons to play,
that's,
right?
That's the idea. And if you're mm-hmm. lucky enough, if you're blessed enough to be able to do it as a career, then that's the cherry on top.
But it helps you work. Sports, right. it's, sports is...
You push yourself.
Yeah, you push yourself. It's like the... It's the ultimate sort of like life tester or life lesson sports is. Because the things you learn in life, a lot of times if you play sports long enough, you learn those things within sports mm-hmm. that you then, like Willie said, you take into the business world or whatnot, being able to work with people, strategize, or problem solve, stuff like that, stuff that athletes have to do like in seconds, all this stuff that athletes, and then you are able to take that and apply it to whatever else if you're not able to make it sort of to the professional ranks.
Appreciate everyone for their questions for D-Maze. Coming up next. We can serve as maybe Switzerland, maybe a tiebreaker.
Roman Yossi?
Exactly. Exactly. We will be the Roman Yossi of a Jared and Joe disagreement that I heard this morning.
Ooh, okay. I love this.
And we will
Have
do
they
that
ever disagreed before? I don't recall.
Never.
Never. Not really. Joe and Jared.
Wednesdays at 5 o'clock, truly, truly, are the I don't know if I would call it the peak of my week. Or the hardest part of my week.
Okay.
But nonetheless, they're a part of my week. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 13 matchup against the Colts and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.